This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. La ilaha illallah.
Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace and blessings be on each and every one of you. I'd like to welcome you, dear viewers, to another in our series, The Best of Tawheed. In our last episode, we were continuing to look at a major violation of the third aspect, which is maintaining the unity of Allah's worship, maintaining the uniqueness in Allah's unity with regards to His worship. We're looking at those mystics, those who had embarked on a path based on the concept or the idea that human beings contain portions of Allah. The human soul itself was divine. And that human soul, its goal ultimately is to reunite with Allah, the universal soul. We said this is a common concept in other systems. It's found there in Hinduism. And it was promoted in ancient times by the philosopher Plato and others. And the route by which a person would achieve that union with God was through dhikr, through remembrance of God. But remembrance of God, not as Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, did it. He and his companions, the others. But in an innovative way, with a series of invented practices, physical movements and pronunciations in strange ways of the names of Allah, in a meaningless way. The Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, whenever he told us to remember Allah, he gave meaningful sentences, Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. Whereas they were promoting just the name Allah. And just repeating that name, Allah, 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 Allah. So you do that 10,000 times or whatever. And yes, after you do that, these kinds of numbers, you may find your head floating. You know, medically they call it hyperventilation. And when you hyperventilate, you become lightheaded. So you say this a number of times with the movements and all these type of things, and you become lightheaded. You start to think that and feel that, you know, you're now really flying. But in reality, this is just a physical consequence of physical acts. In normal communications, if somebody speaks to you, communicating with you, and he just repeats your name, Malik, 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 well, I think you will think that there's something wrong with him. You'll be asking him, well, okay, what do you want? And he just keeps repeating your name over and over again. It's nonsensical. It has no real direction. It's not communication. It's very similar to the Hindu practice of repeating the sound Om in their rituals over and over again. Om, Om, Om. So Allah, 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 Allah. Very similar. And that's where the origin came from. It's taken from Hinduism, Hindu practices. So it's more about the sounds than what is being said. And if you, as I mentioned earlier, have a look at Google under Sufi dhikr, you will see many examples of this type, where people are just making sounds and movements together, and, you know, it's a song and a dance. Whereas the remembrance of Allah is something from real life, something which has meaning. You remember Allah, as I mentioned earlier, when you pray to Him, when you give charity, when you fast, when you're kind to your family, when you look after your wives, when you work honestly. You're remembering Allah, because what makes you honest in your work is the remembrance of Allah. So remembrance of Allah is not confined to just words and phrases. It is life. So after looking at this deviant path, which has its roots all across the Muslim world, with practices associated, varying from sect to sect of Sufism, though the common idea of union with God remains, just like Christianity has a common idea of Trinity, but you have so many different sects with so many different versions, explanations, etc., etc. Similarly, with Sufism, core belief of unity remains in all of the various sects, but each one has its own version of dhikr and other requirements and practices that they teach. And we began in the last episode to look at the evidences which could be drawn from Islamic sources. Because in the end, of course, for it to be promoted in an Islamic field, for it to be promoted in an Islamic environment, it needed to have an Islamic sound to it. It needed to have Islamic cover, you know, words and terms, etc., which are taken from Islamic sources to give it legitimacy and acceptability among the masses. So what you find is that in the texts where Allah, one of the famous texts referred to as a hadith Qudsi, or a hadith narrated by the Prophet ﷺ from Allah, where Allah describes a process by which people grow spiritually into that state of taqwa that we spoke about, which makes one superior to all others who haven't attained that state. Allah described that the first step to achieve that state as being doing what is obligatory. What He has made obligatory for us, that is the beginning point. So all of the obligatory acts must be established. That's what makes us close to Allah. If we're not doing them, we are far from Allah. So nothing else you can do from the voluntary acts will replace that. So in that hadith Qudsi, Allah says that His servant will only come close to Him by doing what He made obligatory. And having done that, if he adds to it what is recommended, he comes closer and closer and closer. That starts to bring him closer and closer to Allah, until he reaches a point where he hears what Allah wants him to hear only. He avoids listening to what Allah is displeased with. He sees only what Allah wishes for him to see. avoiding looking at what Allah is displeased with. He takes, gives, grasps only what Allah wishes for him to do, avoiding what is displeasing to him. And he only goes to places that are pleasing to Allah, avoiding places displeasing to him. That's what the hadith says. But the term used is Allah becomes the ear with which he hears, the eyes with which he sees, the hand with which he grasps, and the foot with which he walks. So they said, here it is. Allah is saying he becomes that man. Well, we understand from the explanations of the Prophet ﷺ different. He did not teach that. That was not the teaching that was understood by the generation of the Prophet. May God's peace and blessings be upon him. After the break, we're going to look further into this concept as regards the other major piece of evidence which is commonly used. So we'll see you after the break.
Islamic Online University, changing the nation through education. Register now and get started. Visit www.iou.edu.gm for more details.